In the midst of all of our joyful Christmas celebrations around the birth of Christ, we hear this story of the murder of innocent children. The world in the time of Jesus' birth continues to be the same kind of world that we live in today. Wherever Christ appears, people take offense. Wherever Christ is ignored or is rejected, people suffer. And the sufferers are usually innocent bystanders. The great paradox is this. Wherever God's presence and love appear in human flesh and become visible to the world around, these wretched things seem to happen. Because real love, God's love, never manipulates anybody. Real love, God's love, always allows a total freedom of choice to the ones loved, even when those choices are wrong, ignorant, misinformed, or just plain malicious and evil. Yet real love, God's love, is always present in the midst of all the suffering, always there for everyone, for the innocent victims as well as the malicious perpetrators. Wow. Life is not simple. God's wisdom and love, perfectly revealed and emptied out in Jesus the Christ, especially in him crucified and risen, is not simple. Yet this is the wisdom and the love that calls all of us, without exception, to live with simplicity in our economics, our lifestyles, our basic wants and needs. Herod loved and lusted after all the wrong things, his own power and wealth and personal glory, at the expense of everyone and everything else around him. In this story, the innocent children of Bethlehem and area whom he had murdered. Bad choice. Bad news for everybody. Rachel in the book of Jeremiah, whom Matthew quotes in the gospel story today, refused to be consoled over the death of her children because they were no more. Rachel's grief is the response that any human being makes in the face of such tragedy. Pain and grief so deep that no words can console. The truth behind this story is that all of us at various times and in various forms and fashion have been innocent sufferers of other people's bad choices. And all of us, at various times and in various forms and fashion, have caused deep, deep pain and grief to innumerable other people by our bad choices. The truth, folks, is that we are all in this together. Every one of us, every single human being is in need, is totally and completely dependent upon this God and Lord of life and love who has met us in our flesh in Jesus and continues to breathe the Holy Spirit into us, this holy and blessed Trinity. Rachel's grief meets its master only in the sufferer, who embraces all suffering knowingly, carries it to a cross, and dies with it. Jesus knows better than anyone else how deeply suffering is woven into the fabric of our human lives. His own mother, Mary, and Joseph suffered at his coming. Jesus became a refugee before he was old enough to spell or to pronounce the word, and remained one all his life, exiled forever, they hoped, on that garbage heap outside of Jerusalem. His whole life embraced so much suffering. And yet on that night, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he saw how much more he still had to embrace. And the next day, he embraced it all. His words from the cross describe the attitude with which he knowingly took on and embraced the suffering of this whole world. Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Our claim is that he is ours and we are his. Somewhere it's written, no servant is above the master. We're often ready and willing to follow, but not always in the way of suffering love. The fact that it's triumphant does not diminish its pain. It takes suffering to redeem a world full of suffering, especially a world that murders innocent children to mark the entry of its Savior. As long as innocent suffering continues, we can all expect our share. Yet the triumph that is Christ's is ours now too. When we remember that judgment begins with the household of God and it took and it takes all that the Holy Trinity can give to deal with suffering, we don't have to be afraid anymore. In fact, we can even rejoice, because the day will appear when Christ will come and say, enough, no more. The very components of the Lord's Supper that we gather here to celebrate are triumphant suffering and unshakable joy. There's the broken body and the spilled blood. There is the forgiveness of sins for our suffering and the suffering that we've caused. And this forgiveness is sure because it's rooted in the suffering and death of the only truly innocent sufferer, the Son of God. All the marks of defeat are there. And yet this sure defeat becomes joyful victory. It's like coming back from the dead. It is coming back from the seemingly inconsolable grief of Rachel to the new life in which suffering can actually become the very fountain of joy. This is Christmas at its best. In the words of C.S. Lewis, when pain is to be borne, a little courage helps more than much knowledge. A little human sympathy more than much courage. And the least tincture of the love of God more than all. Amen.